You pass by them every day as you go about your business, never giving a thought to what they do and say when you're not around. Time for us to take a look at the other side of Pax Lair. The New Britannia Theatre Troupe presents Shadows of Pax Lair, directed and produced by Asclepius. Writer, Gabriel Nightshadow. Based on characters created by Wombi. Music supervisor and director of public relations, Amber Rain. Technical consultant, Sir Style Tackle. Voice cast: Lord Baldrith as Fred and Guard Edward Peterson, Obsidian Soldier. Dr. Shroud as Harry and Town Crier Ray Menderson, a.k.a. Oracle Agent Harkness. Marguerite as Sarah, Oracle Agent. Sophie as Alicia Zarell, Obsidian Assassin. Lady Adnor as Guard Captain Robin Jensen, a.k.a. Oracle Agent Walker, and Cooking Merchant Stephanie Thorenson, Obsidian Agent. Cordelin Valcaris as Pet Merchant John Robertson, a.k.a. Obsidian Mage Camulus Dar, and Guard Number 2. Majoria as Crafting Merchant Linda Leeson, the Defence Attorney. Salith as Guard Nathan Jensen, a.k.a. Oracle Agent McQuaid, and Guard Harry Darkwolf. Striker Sparhawk as Nash, Assistant Bartender at Wodey's, and Dagnar. Amber Rain as Marissa, Dagnar's wife, and Guard Sergeant. Static Grazer as Hans Becker, Cargo Ship Captain. With Jinx as the Oracle, and Banker Marsha Woodson, Prosecutor. Apollux Evanhart as the Magistrate Ian McMaster, a.k.a. Oracle Senior Agent John Smith, and Asclepius as the Obsidian Mage Devar and the Narrator. Special cameo appearance by Amber Rain as herself and young Chiria. The following day, after the events of A Conversation in Pax Lair, proves to be a hot one, and Fred, Harry, and Sarah have been busy hawking their wares.
Harry, what do you say we close up for an hour and head over to Wodey's to grab a bite for lunch?
Sounds like an excellent idea, Fred.
Harry, you were simply amazing last night. Care to have another go at it tonight after work?
Yes, Sarah. Last night was fantastic. Oh. But tonight I'm playing cards with the boys. Perhaps Thursday night.
Sarah walks over and whispers in Harry's ear. His face immediately turns bright red.
Oh, I am so looking forward to it, lover.
Harry, you old dog, talk about living dangerously. If Gertrude finds out what you've been up to, she's gonna make sure you regret it. Come, let us discuss this over a few ales at Wodey's.
Magistrate Ian McMaster enters the marketplace and walks over to Sarah's stall.
Your Honor, it is good to see you this fine summer day. Would you be interested in purchasing some of my sweet cinnamon buns?
The magistrate examines Sarah's buns with great interest.
What do you have to report, Agent Sarah?
Senior Agent Smith, as instructed, I ran into the subject Harry at Wodey's last night, seduced him and brought him back to my place for questioning after lovemaking.
What were you able to learn?
Harry and Fred appear to use their gift for gab to con others into giving them money, but I think they are more than simple con men. Harry seemed to know a lot more about the obsidians than the average person would, and even mentioned that one of his ancestors was a mid-level official in the obsidian hierarchy.
That is very interesting news, Agent Sarah.
Continue to apply the subject for information.
Sarah nods.
Sarah, I love your soft, luscious buns. I think I will take these two.
The magistrate hands over 12 gold coins to Sarah, which is far more than the cost of the cinnamon buns.
Thank you, magistrate. Have a good day.
A good day to you as well, Sarah.
The magistrate heads towards the courthouse.
Sweet cinnamon buns! Come and get them before they run out. Only one gold apiece.
End of scene one. Scene two. Meanwhile, two strangers have arrived in Paxlair.
Travellers, welcome to the metropolis of Paxlair, which is under the leadership of the Honourable Governor Winfield. I am Raymond Medicine, the town crier, but everyone just calls me Ray. How can I be of assistance to you today?
Hello, Ray. My name is Salya Aramar, and this is my elderly father, Boral. We're here in Paxlair to visit my cousin Fred. I believe he operates a produce stand in the market square. I wonder if you could direct us there.
Certainly. Walk straight ahead, then make a right turn at the water fountain. That is the market square.
The travellers are intercepted by Guard Captain Robin Jensen and Guard Nathan Jensen.
I don't recognize you two. State the nature of your business here.
Yes, as I was explaining to Ray, my father and I are here in Paxlair to visit my cousin Fred, who operates a produce stand in the market square.
Sis, I don't remember Fred ever mentioned having a cousin or uncle before.
I am not surprised that he failed to mention us. The fact is, we have not seen Fred since he moved away from Greystone 15 years ago, after his parents died in that tragic barn fire.
I see. Very well, then. You may proceed. Enjoy your stay here in Paxlair.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
So, Agent Harkness, do you think these two were telling the truth?
They were lying through their teeth, Agent Walker. I know for a fact that Fred was raised in an orphanage in Kingsport after being abandoned on their doorstep 30 years ago. And those two travellers seem strangely familiar. I think they may be Obsidian agents.
Why would two Obsidians be here to see Fred? Perhaps he and his friend Harry are indeed Obsidian spies, sent here to Paxlair to stir up trouble. You never know who you can trust these days. Agent McQuaid will continue to tail them while I confer with Senior Agent Smith. Good work, Agent Harkness.
Thank you, Agent Walker.
End of scene two. Scene 3. A few moments later, just outside the barn located near the town crier.
Look, Father, over there in that barn. It's a purple llama.
Hello, my name is John Robertson, pet merchant for Paxlair. How can I be of assistance to you today, miss?
That purple llama looks so sad. I must have him. How much do you want for him?
Well, as you know, a purple llama is a rare find indeed. I could not part with him for less than, 50,000 gold.
Oh, please, Father.
Very well, my child. I will purchase the purple llama for you. Unfortunately, we cannot take possession of the llama until we are ready to leave Paxlair in a couple of days. Is it possible to keep him boarded here until then?
That can be arranged for an additional fee. Please, come inside the barn, and I will draw up the proper ownership papers.
The pet merchant, Alicia, and Devar walk over to the barn and engage in conversation. Guard Nathan Jensen moves a bit closer in an attempt to eavesdrop on them. He does not notice Guard Edward Peterson sneak up behind him.
This seems rather suspicious. I can't imagine anyone spending that much money on a llama, even if it is a purple one. Perhaps the pet merchant is another obsidian spy.
Hey, Nathan!
Guard Nathan Jensen turns around.
Good work, Brother Edward. The Oracle agent was getting a bit too nosy.
Should I dispose of him?
Cooking merchant Stephanie Thorensen walks over and stands next to pet merchant John Robertson.
No. Use the secret underground tunnel here in the barn and take him to the holding area underneath my store. He is unsuitable as a sacrifice for the ritual, but I can use him to make more shepherd's pie for Farmer Vincent to sell to Woody. Apparently my special blend of herbs and spices have made them the most popular item on the menu. Even Lord British himself remarked how tasty they were on his last visit here. The assistant bartender, Nash, told me that they have trouble keeping it in stock, mainly because both Lich Lord Ravagus Drumbeard and the High Priestess of Chaos, Amber Rain, eagerly consume several of the pies every day.
Yes, Sister Stephanie. He's kind of heavy.
Guard Edward Peterson slings the unconscious guard Nathan Jensen over his right shoulder and enters the barn.
Now that we have some privacy, it is good to see you again, Master Devar.
As it is good to see you, Camillus Dar, my former apprentice. How go the preparations for the ritual?
All is ready, Master Devar. I regret that the animal sacrifices and my meager mystical skills have proven insufficient to cast the spell.
Aye, Governor Wernfield has grown suspicious of the number of animal carcasses that have been turning up in the river. A short while ago, I heard Sean Silverfoot ask Themalok and Galus to organize a search in the sewer system and try to determine who is responsible for the illegal dumping. Themalok said the search will take place tomorrow morning.
Sister Stephanie and Brother Edward have proven quite successful in disguising themselves and then seducing and drugging a dozen unsuspecting male and female travelers at both Woady's Tavern and the Bear Tavern. They have been bringing them to the underground holding area, where they have been kept alive until you are able to use them as sacrifices in the ritual.
You have done well, Camillus. According to my calculations, we should conduct the ritual this evening, when the shattered fragments of Daedalus and the planets are aligned. Will that be a problem?
No, Master Devar. According to Sister Wind Silvermoon, Governor Winfield and his friends will be fishing at the waterfall at that very hour. As I informed you, by casting suspicion on those two merchants, Fred and Harry, through the planting of evidence and that cover story regarding your visit, the agents of the Oracle have focused their efforts on them and are oblivious to our endeavors.
Will the dwarf, Lord Blake Blackstone, and the rich Lord Ravicus Domedread be among those fishing with Winfield?
Why, yes, they most certainly will. Why do you ask, Alicia?
I seek to avenge my fallen sisters. When their forces attacked our secret base in Celestis, at least the dwarf fought with honor. Although gravely wounded, from my hiding place I saw the Lich Lord eagerly consume the flesh of my dead sisters, leaving nothing for me to bury but gnawed bones.
Patience, my dear Alicia. Once the ritual is over, there will be an opportunity for you to get revenge against the dwarf and the Lich Lord for destroying the Takari Sisterhood of Assassins.
Yes, Master.
The agents of the Oracle will not realize what we are up to until it is too late, and Pax Slayer will be ours. End of Scene 3. Scene 4. Meanwhile, in the secret Oracle confirmatory, located beneath the recently constructed Pax Slayer courthouse, Magistrate Ian McMaster is kneeling before an altar. Guard Captain Robin Jensen enters from the left and approaches him.
Sorry to disturb your meditation, Senior Agent Smith, but I have urgent news to report.
The magistrate gets up and turns to face Guard Captain Robin Jensen. The two embrace and exchange a passionate kiss.
No need to be so formal when we're alone, my darling Robin.
Okay, Ian. Two suspected Obsidian operatives have entered the city and are attempting to make contact with Fred and Harry.
The wall behind the altar begins to shimmer, and the image of the Oracle suddenly appears. Both the magistrate and Guard Captain Robin Jensen immediately kneel before the altar.
Mighty Oracle.
This is most disturbing news. I know of the two of whom you speak. The elderly man is the Mage Devar, a high-ranking member of the banned Obsidian group known as the Order of the Ebon Dawn. It is said he was an apprentice to the powerful Mage Lorindar. The young female is his personal bodyguard, Alicia Zoral, the last surviving member of the Dakari Sisterhood of Assassins. Senior Agent John Smith, see to it that all four Obsidians are apprehended and brought in for interrogation. We must learn about the extent of their operations here on the mainland of Novia. The Obsidians must not be allowed to rise again and disrupt the order I have brought to the people.
We will do as you ask, mighty Oracle. We exist to serve.
The image of the Oracle vanishes from the wall. The magistrate and Guard Captain Robin Jensen rise and turn to face each other.
Assemble two teams and apprehend the four Obsidian operatives. Use discretion, as we don't want Governor Winfield or his friends to become aware of our activities.
Understood, sir.
Guard Captain Robin Jensen nods and then turns to leave. End of Scene 4. Scene 5. A short time later, at Wodey's Bar, Nash, the assistant bartender at Wodey's, is standing behind the tavern counter. The crafting merchant and banker are seated at one of the tables. Fred and Harry are seated at another.
That producer vendor Fred is really good looking. Is he single?
Linda, you don't want to get involved with him. He's got a real reputation as a womanizer.
Oh, what a pity. I was hoping to put my riding crop to good use tonight.
The crafting merchant suddenly has a devilish smile on her face. The banker nods in agreement.
Well, if it's excitement you crave, I guess we could pay a midnight visit to the exclusive Shadowfire Club in the basement of Gabriel's home this evening. I hear he has made some noticeable improvements to the decor in the dungeon room on the fifth level.
That sounds like an excellent idea. So, Marcia, what do you think of the new magistrate?
Well, Linda, even I have to admit that he does seem pretty harsh. As you are well aware, he sent many of your clients to the guillotine.
Yes, I've heard that the mysterious executioner has to sharpen the guillotine blade on a daily basis. I'm beginning to regret accepting Governor Winfield's request to fill the position of defense attorney.
Well, Linda, the truth is, No one else was willing to accept the position, especially once they heard that the decapitator was going to be the new presiding judge.
Do they really call him that, Marcia? What is his background, anyway?
I'm not sure, Linda. All I know is that he came highly recommended to Governor Winfield. I'll be so glad when our permanent replacements arrive from Brittany next week. Even doing this part-time has really made it difficult to run my business.
I know what you mean, Marcia. I've had to hire two assistants to cover for me at the shop when I'm facing off against you in court. It's costing me a fortune.
Well, if we are lucky, there won't be any major trials for the rest of the week.
I will most definitely drink to that.
As the crafting merchant and banker have a drink, Nash steps out from behind the counter and walks over to Fred and Harry's table.
Fred, Harry, sorry it took me so long to get to you. As you know, Wodey is still away on vacation, and Chun-Li is tending to her and Rue's sick son. It's just me covering the floor until Cammy comes in to start her shift in 4 hours. So what can I get for you two today?
I think I will have the fish and chips and a mug of Fire Mountain Ale.
I will have the shepherd's pie and a mug of Fire Mountain Ale. Oh.
Harry, you don't realize how lucky you are. I have one shepherd's pie left. My supplier promises to have more for me tomorrow morning. I'll have Ruth start on those right away.
Nash walks back behind the counter and turns his head toward the kitchen.
One Winfield special and one shepherd pie, Rue.
Nash turns back to the patrons sitting at the counter.
So, any of you guys need another drink?
So tell me, Harry, how did an average-looking, middle-aged guy like you get someone as young and beautiful, like Sarah, interested in you? Jeez, she's like half your age.
What can I say, Fred? Some women prefer someone with experience and stamina. Ooh.
Yeah, right, Harry. You know, it's only a matter of time before the old ball and chain finds out.
I only have to wait a couple more days on Thursday. Gertrude is travelling to Braemar in a hidden vale to visit her ill cousin Morgana. She will be gone at least 3 weeks.
You're playing with fire, my old friend. Gertrude is not a fool like Dagnar is. She is probably already suspicious about all of these late nights you and I have been having with our old friend Han, the cargo ship captain, and that fellow Londo these past few weeks. You know, for an outlander, Lando seems like a pretty cool guy. I am really enjoying this Earth card game he introduced us to. What is it called again?
I believe he called it No Limit Texas Hold'em Poker. Of course you like it, Fred. You've been winning quite a bit these semi-weekly poker tournaments. I haven't been so lucky.
Cheer up, buddy. I'm sure that you will have much better luck tonight.
Guard Captain Robin Jensen and Guards Harry Darkwolf and Number 2 enter the tavern and walk up to Fred and Harry's table and surround it.
Is there something we can help you with, Guard Captain Jensen?
Both of you will accompany us to the courthouse immediately for questioning with regards to a highly delicate matter. Come along quietly, or there will be trouble.
May I ask what this is in regard to?
Shouting is heard from outside as the guards spot Alicia and Devar and begin pursuing them. The guards are temporarily stunned by a flashbang grenade thrown by Alicia. A guard sergeant enters the tavern. Guard Captain Robin Jensen turns to face her.
Guard Captain Jensen, the other two obsidians have managed to elude us. We think they may have escaped into the sewer system. Also, your brother seems to have disappeared.
What? This is totally unacceptable. Sergeant, take guards McDonnell, Simpson, Watkins, Reed, Fowler, Gunderson, and Coltrane and begin a search of the sewer system. Have guards Hill, Koch, Furry, Ross, Johnson, Caffrey, Scott, and Hayes begin a discreet above-ground search. I will deal with these two suspected Obsidian agents personally.
Yes, Guard Captain.
The Guard Sergeant salutes Captain Jensen, then turns and exits the tavern. Guard Captain Robin Jensen turns back towards Fred and Harry and glares at them. Both Fred and Harry exchange quick glances with each other as they realize the seriousness of the situation.
I'm sure we can discuss all of this at the courthouse, Guard Captain Jensen. Of course, neither one of us wants any trouble.
Both Fred and Harry get up and accompany the guards as they exit the tavern. The banker and crafting merchant get up from their table.
Oh well, so much for that.
See you at the courthouse.
End of scene 5. Scene 6. After being separately questioned by Guard Captain Robin Jensen and her second-in-command, Guard Lieutenant Malcolm Daniels, for several hours, Fred and Harry continue to deny that they are Obsidian agents plotting against the Oracle. As night falls, and Governor Winfield and his friends go fishing at the waterfall, Magistrate Ian McMaster calls for a bench trial, i.e. one in which no jury is involved, and closes it to the public. Both the prosecutor and the defense attorney find this highly suspicious, but know better than to object. Let us peek in on the trial.
So, Captain Becker, how do you know the two defendants? I remind you that you are under oath. Failure to tell the truth will render your plea agreement null and void.
Well, I've been helping Fred and Harry smuggle Shamsier to the mainland from the Hidden Vale for the past 5 years or so.
Shamazar? I've never heard of that substance. Could you please explain to the court what that is?
Certainly. It's a fine pink powder made up of a few substances, but primarily sheep intestines. When mixed with an alcoholic beverage, it causes a chemical reaction which transforms the beverage into a powerful aphrodisiac. Since it can be used for illicit purposes, plus the fact that it requires 5 sheep intestines to produce 1 ounce of Shmismar, it's a banned substance. The guards in Owl's Head have been cracking down lately on those who slaughter their precious sheep for this purpose. The drug is manufactured in a secret underground laboratory located in Owl's Head and then transported by land to Kingsport. I ferry the goods from there to Paxlayer once a month. My partners, Fred and Harry, unloaded it late at night and then transport it through the underground sewer system to the secret storage room in order to avoid any detection by the city guards.
I see. Is there a great demand for this drug?
Oh yes, the drug is highly sought after by the rich and powerful here in Paxlayer, and goes for about 5,000 gold per ounce these days.
So I imagine that you, Fred and Harry, have gotten quite wealthy from the sales of this banned substance.
Well, I have. Fred and Harry seem to blow most of their gold on wine, women, and gambling.
I see. I guess this gives us some insight into their moral character, doesn't it, Captain Becker?
I object. This calls for speculation on the part of the witness.
Objection sustained. Do you have any further questions for this witness?
No, Your Honor.
I have no questions for this witness.
Witness is dismissed. Bring in the next witness.
Guard Harry Darkwolf escorts Dagnar to the witness stand.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Dagnar Vikris.
How do you know the two defendants?
I'm an importer of fine clothing, art and jewelry for the wealthy here in Pax Lair.
And how would you be acquainted with the two lowly market square vendors?
Please, Fred and Harry are two of my best customers.
Oh, really? The guards did not find any such items in a search of either of their premises.
Oh, that's because they keep it all stashed away in their secret love nest where they entertain their lady friends.
So, didn't you find it odd that the two defendants could afford to spend so lavishly?
At first I did, but Fred explained to me that he and his friend Harry are both well-paid covert Oracle operatives. Recently they had been directed to observe the activities of my neighbor, Robert Sebastian, the new night shift bartender at the Bear Tavern. Mr. Sebastian is suspected of being a member of a banned obsidian group, trying to gather support for an insurrection against the Oracle.
I see. That is why he had to enter your apartment on a daily basis?
Oh, yes. Fred has been observing Mr. Sebastian's activity at home through a small hole drilled in my bedroom wall, while his fellow operative Harry has been observing Mr. Sebastian's activities when he is out and about Pax Lair. Fred has given me frequent updates on this evil obsidian plot.
How interesting. Did Fred provide you with any official credentials to prove that he was an Oracle operative?
Well, no, he didn't. But I've known Fred and Harry for years. They wouldn't lie to me about something this serious.
So you took Fred at his word. The truth is, you don't know for sure if Fred was making up the whole story and is in fact a clever liar.
No, I can't say with 100% certainty.
I object. The prosecutor's besmirching the defendant's reputation without any proof.
I will be providing that proof very shortly with my next witness.
Very well, then. Objection is overruled. Please continue, prosecutor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have no further questions for this witness.
The witness is dismissed. Bring in the next witness.
Guard Harry Darkwolf escorts Marissa to the witness stand.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Marissa Vikris, wife of Dagnar Vikris.
Can you collaborate the testimony provided by your husband?
Yes, indeed. I would like to add that Fred did show me a golden medallion which indicated his authority as an ancient of the Oracle.
The prosecutor pulls a large golden coin out of her pocket and shows it to Marissa.
Is this the medallion which he showed you?
Why, yes it is.
Well, I have been in contact with the Oracle's new ambassador, who has provided me with a signed affidavit which states that this is not a badge of authority, but rather a commemorative golden Oracle coin, which has been minted by Sir Frank for the upcoming reaffirmation celebration. I'm not sure how Fred managed to obtain one of these ahead of time, but he clearly lied about being an agent of the Oracle.
Oh my!
How much time has Fred been spending observing your neighbor's activities?
Well, Fred stops by every morning and spends about 3 hours peering through the hole in our bedroom wall and recording my neighbor's activities in his journal.
The prosecutor steps back a few steps and then points her finger at Marissa.
That is a lie. Isn't it true that you and Fred are carrying on an illicit affair behind your husband's back?
No, that's not true.
The prosecutor pulls out a piece of parchment and waves it in front of Marissa's face.
I have a sworn statement here from night shift dock worker Richard Long, who lives in the row house directly across the street from yours. Using his spyglass, he has observed you and Fred having sex every day soon after your husband leaves for work in the morning. What do you have to say for yourself?
Yes, I admit I have been sleeping with Fred, but I had no choice. The first day after my husband left for work, Fred said that he had lusted after me for quite some time, and then threatened to implicate Dagnar in the obsidian plot if I didn't start sleeping with him. I love my husband and would do anything to protect him. If Fred lied about being an agent of the Oracle, then it was all for nothing. I am so ashamed of myself.
Fred suddenly stands up and points at Marissa.
That's a lie! She was the one who tried to seduce me!
Sit down, Fred.
Dagnar rises from his seat in the audience.
You bastard! I treated you like a brother! How dare you blackmail my wife into having sex with you? Die!
Dagnar pulls out a dagger and charges toward the stage.
Guards, stop him!
Guards Harry Darkwolf and Number Two enter the gallery and block Dagnar's path.
Drop the dagger, Dagnar!
Dagnar is the only one to notice that the guard's eyes turn crimson red for an instant, and he seems to have unusually sharp canine teeth. This triggers a memory from his youth in Ardoris.
Please give me back my ball,
asked the young girl.
I don't think so,
said one of the boys, passing it to one of his friends. The second boy taunted the girl by holding the ball in front of him. As the girl reached for the ball, he suddenly pulled it back beyond her reach and then tossed the ball to a third friend. Young Dagnar held the ball out, just above the girl's head. The little girl jumped up to get it, but the boy suddenly held it high above his head, beyond her reach. The little girl jumped up again, but to no avail. Dagnar and his two friends started laughing. The little girl looked like she was about to cry when the young High Priestess of Chaos, Amber Rain, and her pet wolf, Moritura, walked up. Amber glared at the boys and said,
Give the little girl her ball back.
Moritura started growling. The three boys suddenly looked very nervous. Dagnar handed the ball back to the little girl.
Now leave. And if I ever catch you bothering this little girl again, you will surely regret it,
said Amber, as Moritura's eyes suddenly turned bright red and he bared all of his sharp, pearly white teeth. Dagnar cried out, Ah, it's some sort of...
Demon wolf.
Guard Harry Darkwolf smiles upon hearing this. A very nervous Dagnar slowly begins to wet his pants.
We realize that you're upset, Dagnar, but this is not the way to handle it. We don't want to hurt you, but we will, if necessary.
Okay. I don't want any trouble. No. No trouble.
Wise decision on your part, Dagnar.
Guard Harry Darkwolf turns to face Guard Number Two.
I can handle this.
Guard Number Two nods and returns to his post. Guard Harry Darkwolf escorts the frightened Dagnar in between the bleachers while Fred sits back down.
Please don't hurt me.
I won't, as long as you keep my little secret. I must remain close to my beloved Amber so I can protect her from her many enemies. Her fiancé, that wimpy playwright Gabriel Nightshadow, is useless in a fight.
I promise to keep quiet. I do.
Good. Remember, I know where you live, Dagnar.
A frightened Dagnar quickly turns and leaves the area, while Guard Harry Darkwolf returns to his post.
This is not going well for us. The testimony provided by our friend Han proves that we are drug smugglers. Furthermore, testimony which Sarah and the guards who searched my row house provided earlier was even more damning. The journals left to me by my late grandfather makes it look like I was carrying on his work as an obsidian agent, and being painted as an adulterer doesn't help either.
No kidding! I look even worse. Hey, lady, you're supposed to be our defense attorney. Do something.
Badgering a crying woman isn't going to help your case, Fred. It's her word against yours, and her credibility is a lot higher.
This can't get any worse.
I have no further questions from this witness, Your Honor.
Does the defense attorney have any questions for the witness?
No, Your Honor.
Very well, then. The witness is dismissed. Bring in the next witness.
Guard Harry Darkwolf escorts the town crier to the witness stand, and then returns to his post.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Ray Matherson. I'm the town crier.
Are you acquainted with the two defendants?
I sure do. I have known both Fred and Harry for over 15 years. They're really great guys.
I see. Is it not true that two strangers arrived in Paxley earlier today looking for Fred?
Yes, a very attractive young woman and an elderly fellow claiming to be Fred's cousin and uncle, respectively. I found that to be rather suspicious because when I first met Fred, he told me that he was an orphan and had no living relatives.
The prosecutor pulls out two wanted posters and shows them to the town crier.
Were these the two people in question?
Yes, I believe so. The resemblance is uncanny.
The town crier has just identified two wanted criminals. Devar, a powerful mage and high-ranking member of the Band Obsidian group known as the Order of the Ebon Dawn, and Elisha Zoral, his personal bodyguard and assassin. Now why would a high-ranking Obsidian official be here in Paxley to visit Fred, a lowly produce vendor? There can only be one possible explanation.
The prosecutor turns towards Fred and points at him.
Fred is the leader of a covert Obsidian cell operating here in Paxley. He and his second-in-command, Harry, are trying to recruit people to their cause by spreading lies and rumors about the Oracle.
Both Fred and Harry stand up immediately.
No, that's not true.
I don't know why those two travelers lied about us, but I swear that Fred and I are just two loyal, hard-working citizens.
I think not. I urge the court to find these two guilty of treason and sentence them to death by beheading.
Harry turns toward the defense attorney.
Damn it! You're our defense attorney! Say something! Our lives are on the line!
Sit down, you two. This is not helping your case.
Both Fred and Harry reluctantly sit down as the defense attorney stands up.
Well, I admit that the prosecutor has presented a very compelling case. The fact is that all of the evidence is circumstantial. None of the evidence directly links my two clients to the two Obsidian agents in question. While it is true that my clients may not be of the highest moral character, there is nothing in their past actions which suggests that they are guilty of treason. I urge the court to find them not guilty and let them return to being productive members of the Paxler community.
I will consider all of the evidence which has been presented and return shortly with my decision.
Guard Captain Robin Jensen suddenly enters the courtroom and approaches the magistrate. He turns to face her.
Sorry to interrupt, Your Honor, but I just wanted to update you on the search for the other two Obsidian agents. It seems that my men have been unable to locate them in the underground sewer system, although we have confirmed that they did indeed enter it after they escaped from the Market Square and have not resurfaced since then.
They must have some sort of hidden base down there. But we don't have sufficient manpower to mount a more thorough search.
Perhaps Harry and I could be of assistance in this matter?
How so? Do you know the precise location of the secret Obsidian base?
No, but Harry and I know the underground sewer system better than anybody else in Pax Lair. and could help narrow your search to a handful of probable locations in exchange for having the charges against us dismissed.
You are in no position to bargain.
Your Honor, we have nothing to lose, and time is of the essence.
Very well, then. I will suspend the proceedings pending the outcome of the search. Guards, you will accompany the two prisoners during the search. Is that clear?
Yes, Your Honor.
Proceed.
Guard Captain Robin Jensen bows, then turns around and exits the courtroom. Guards Harry Darkwolf and Number 2 leave their posts and walk over to the defendant's table.
Come with us! Don't try to escape or you end up dead. Understand?
Both Fred and Harry get up and nod. They exit the courtroom in single file, with guard Harry Darkwolf in the lead, followed by Fred, then Harry, and finally guard Number 2. No one notices the defense attorney briefly smile as her two clients are led away. I can't believe I was actually paid to throw this case, she thinks to herself. Easiest 5,000 gold I ever made. End of scene 6. Scene 7. Sometime later, at the secret underground base of the Order of the Ebon Dawn in the Paxlair sewer system, Alicia and Devar plot their next move.
The rest of our members should be here in about half an hour, Master.
Good. Have you checked on the human sacrifices?
Yes. They are still groggy from the drugs, but appear to be in good health. Camulus should be returning shortly with the 12 Naguri blood daggers needed for the ritual.
Excellent. Nothing can stop us now.
The magistrate suddenly appears at the right doorway with the spell components in hand, while guard Captain Robin Jensen appears at the left doorway with her two-handed flaming sword drawn.
I wouldn't count on that, dwarf.
Devar turns to face the magistrate, while Alicia turns to face guard Captain Robin Jensen.
Well, if it isn't Oracle Senior Agent John Smith. So, it seems that you've finally found me. Are you going to arrest me for what I did to your little brother?
You bastard! Killing him wasn't enough, was it? You had to turn him into a freaking zombie. I still remember that day I came home 5 years ago to find him munching on my wife's brain. I had to choke back the tears as I decapitated poor Robert.
I'm not going to apologize for my actions. Your brother deserved to be punished for leading that attack on my main base in Solania. I lost nearly half my followers in that attack, including my only son, Cordesh. Afterwards, I was forced to set up several smaller bases, including the one here in Paxlair.
No, I'm not going to arrest you, dwarf. Guard Captain Robin Jensen and I are going to make sure that you and Alicia pay for your crimes with your lives.
The magistrate casts flame arrow at Devar. Devar casts death ray at the magistrate.
Time to eliminate Dakari Sisterhood of Assassins once and for all.
Captain Robin Jensen charges towards Alicia. Alicia manages to dodge and deflect Captain Jensen's attacks and manages to stab her in the stomach with one of her twin short swords.
Ugh.
Ha. You're going to have to do far better than that if you expect to defeat me.
Feel my power!
Devar casts several lightning bolts at the magistrate. Alicia uses an offhand attack on guard Captain Robin Jensen, who counters with a rend attack. The magistrate runs up to Devar and hits him in the jaw with flame fist. Devar casts gust. The magistrate is forced back. Meanwhile, Alicia unleashes a Whirling Blades attack, but Guard Captain Robin Jensen counters with a coup de grace attack. The Magistrate casts a large fireball at Devar. Devar casts Douse, then runs up to Magistrate and hits him with Death Touch. Prepare to die! What? My summon lich spell fizzled!
Too bad for you! Burn, foul sorcerer!
The Magistrate casts Immolate on Devar. Devar falls to the ground. The Magistrate approaches and examines the body. Devar suddenly springs to his feet and casts Death Field. I'm taking you with me to the underworld. My followers will carry on my work. The obsidians will rise again! The Magistrate falls to the ground. Dead. Oh, damn! Devar dies also. Guard Captain Robin Jensen does not notice Alicia press a button on her sword hilts, which causes a thin green liquid to coat her blades. Alicia uses a rend attack on Guard Captain Robin Jensen, who staggers back and falls to her knees.
Poison? You fight without honor.
Of course not. I'm an assassin. I do whatever it takes to win. I'm going to mount your head on my wall.
Alicia does not notice Sarah materialize behind her, with her dagger drawn after using silent movement.
I think not. Die, obsidian witch!
Sarah slashes Alicia in the back. Alicia falls to the ground. Dead. Sarah approaches Guard Captain Robin Jensen and casts Purify and then Healing Ray on her. Guard Captain Robin Jensen breathes a sigh of relief as she stands up.
I feel much better now. Thank you for saving me, Sarah.
You're welcome, big sister.
Guard Captain Robin Jensen walks over to the Magistrate's body.
Oh, my poor Ian.
Ian died a hero, taking down a mighty foe of the Oracle. It is vital that we carry on his work so his sacrifice will not have been in vain.
Yes. I will make sure that all of the obsidians operating here in Paxlayer are rounded up tonight and sent to the guillotine tomorrow. It's a good thing that our town crier and executioner Ray already have several spare guillotine blades sharpened and ready to use.
I managed to free the drugged prisoners, including our dear brother. They're being escorted back to the surface by the guard sergeant and a couple of his men. The rest of the guards will remain in position and apprehend any Ebon Dawn cult members who approach the sacrificial chamber. Now, why don't you say we get out of here, big sister?
Sounds good to me.
Both Sarah and Guard Captain Robin Jensen exit the chamber. End of Scene 7. Scene 8. Sunset, the next day.
So, Harry, did you hear what happened to poor Nash?
Yeah, I heard he was incinerated by a fireball cast by the cook Ryu, right in front of the lunchtime crowd. I'm not sure what drove him to do it, though. Apparently Ryu died in an ensuing melee with the city guards.
The word is that Ryu found out this morning that his son wasn't really his. It seems that Nash and Chun-Li have been having an affair behind his back for the past 1.5 years.
Wow, I had no idea.
It was rather nice of Guard Captain Jensen to drop all charges and release us from custody.
Yeah, but the damage is done. That stupid guard from the courthouse, Harry Darkwolf, got drunk at Woody's last night and babbled about the trial to all those assembled there. One of the bar patrons told Gertrude about my affair with Sarah. She threw me out the house.
Yeah, and no one in town seems to want to do business with us. It seems that even being named as a suspected obsidian spy is enough to destroy one's reputation.
I think that we've outstayed our welcome in Paxley. Time for us to move on. Any suggestions?
Well, I hear that the Metropolis of Vengeance is looking for vendors.
Isn't that located at northern end of the Grunwald Desert? You know, I can't stand extreme heat. Besides, I've heard that Vengeance is a very dangerous place to live.
Look on the bright side, old friend. An isolated place like that presents plenty of opportunities for two clever guys like us.
I guess so.
Both Fred and Harry walk off into the sunset. Sound effect credits. All sound effects used in this production are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 unported. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. The following sound effects can be found at http://soundbible.com. Strong Punch, recorded by Mark Koenig. Flashbang, recorded by Kibbles Bob. Flame Arrow, recorded by Mike Koenig. Stab, recorded by Mike Koenig. Thundersound FX, recorded by Grant Evans. Torch, recorded by Mike Koenig. Wind, recorded by Mike Koenig. Large Fireball, recorded by Mike Koenig. Fire Burning, recorded by Jabba. The following sound effects can be found at http://opengameart.org. Fall, recorded by Remaxim. Ghost Breath, recorded by Cubadup. Ghost One, recorded by Cubadup.